Happy Super Bowl week. This day for movies on up. We'll see Ryan after the theme song. This week, we talk some news, some Star Wars, some Marvel, some X-Men, which is Marvel, and some robot news. Then we tackle some trailers. And speaking of tackle, we also give our top five movies starring football players that played in the NFL. Theme song, it's time for kickoff.
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 38. President by day, hunter by night, podcasters by Tuesday evening. I'm Ryan. Sitting across from me, staring directly into my beautiful hazel eyes, is my co-host Dave.
I'm here.
He's now staring.
We're starting.
What's that?
We're starting.
We're off to a bang, as we usually are, more of a whimper than a bang. But our tagline contest for this week, President by day, hunter by night, that's not exactly a tough one to discern. We talked about it last week, so if that doesn't help you, maybe the words president and hunter might help, because both of those words are in the title of this movie. If you know what that movie is, send it to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. Get at us on the Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup, or Twitter, @moviesonup. Let us know what your guess is. If it's correct, if we choose you, two big ifs, you could win a prize pack. You will win a prize pack from Movies On Up. I don't know what's going to be in it, but test us. Why don't you see?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. We don't have to figure it out if nobody enters. So if you guys enter, make Dave and I do some work, damn it. Some people doing work this weekend. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, Movie 43, and Jason Statham and Jennifer Lopez in Parker, movie that apparently didn't come out this summer, came out this week.
Yeah, I still think it was a remake, but I did not research on that. Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, I don't think it surprised anybody. I don't remember saying.
Did it surprise us? Because I don't remember what we thought.
We didn't do an over-under on it. Okay. I kind of think it was known that it would be number one. I don't think I said last week that it wouldn't be, but it came in number one with $19 million. So that's kind of horror-ish. Mom is a horror. Texas Chainsaw is a horror. Yeah. So 2013 is kind of reestablishing that you could put out horror movies in January. And
they'll make $20 million.
Yeah. So Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter, not that it's a horror movie, but it opened at $19.6 million, which it's on a $50 million budget. It's not a bad start. I don't know what the effects look like with a $50 million budget, because that's a smaller budget than Abe Lincoln, and it has bigger name cast.
It has a name cast.
So they may have the formula. That might be the proper formula, because Abe Lincoln spent this money, had no name, and it bombed. This may just make enough. Mama was still second. Jessica Chastain came in third also with Zero Dark Thirty, added another 9.7. Mama was $13 million, putting it at $48 million after 2 weeks on a $15 million budget. So again,
Mama 2.
Yeah. Again, those horror movies in January.
Step Mama.
Silver Linings Playbook still hanging strong. It only dropped 12% for $9.4 million. So it's sitting at $68 million. Then Parker, the second best performing wide release, only brought in $7 million for fifth place. Movie 43. We weren't sure what the audience would be like. We were right. I mean, I think I said it would be over whatever I said. I don't remember. I don't listen back.
I don't either. I used to, but I don't.
I know I thought there might be a chance that the names and the advertisement might get people out, but I think people were just unsure. And it only brought in $4.8 million for seventh place. But on the flip side of that, $6 million budget.
I think we did mention that this was going to be a movie that's, you know, if it was to do well, it would do well probably in its second.
It'd have to carry off word of mouth.
Yeah, exactly, word of mouth. And we're not, the things that I read were not very kind of this movie, so I don't expect that there would be a giant influx of people from word of mouth next week. But if it was going to make money, we both kind of agreed that it would be next week and the week after, not really in the first week. So we were right.
Yeah, so I mean, that's it. I mean, you're January. There's not much to talk about with box office in January. I'd like to see it turn around and not be a dumping ground, but
Yeah, you mentioned not much to talk about. Definitely not much to talk about in the way of new releases. And I guess this week was a pretty quiet news week.
Not much to talk about in news.
No, not at all. Nothing happened on a Thursday night before, I don't know, it was probably maybe 5:30. Nothing happened. Until J.J. Abrams, that is. Never going to have to pay for a Mountain Dew ever again. And I do mean ever. The director of Star Trek Into Darkness, jumping from the Enterprise, beaming from the Enterprise to the Millennium Falcon. Via a press release, Disney has confirmed that Abrams will direct Episode 7 of the new Star Wars franchise. Also involved in the project, which we've known for a while, Lawrence Kasdan. He's the folk that wrote The Empire, Raiders, and Jedi, all under Lucas from before. Simon Kinberg, writer of Sherlock Holmes and Days of Future Past. He and Kasdan will consult on the project, kind of a nebulous term. Michael Arndt, who wrote Little Miss Sunshine, Toy Story 3, and the upcoming Tom Cruise joint Oblivion, is actually going to write the script for this. I can pretty much die a happy man now. We've got our director, we've got our writer, so we can get this thing into production. And despite signing on, Abrams, still a pretty busy dude, has not fully committed to the original 2015 release date. He will at least produce Star Trek 3 and will be involved in the next Mission Impossible series, next Mission Impossible release somehow, as well as a couple other TV shows he's currently got under pilot consideration, but he will be at the very least piloting Episode 7.
Yeah, this story, I think when Episode 7 through 9 were announced, I think Abrams was one of those names that was too obvious that he would have been the first name to come up, but you think like, oh, he's just got too much going on. Because I know I went for Brad Bird. I know we liked the Matthew Vaughn talk. I'm up for it. I don't know that there's a more perfect fit.
I think mentioning he was would have been one of the first names to come up, from what I understand, he was approached and he said that he wasn't interested. This was a couple months ago, I think, and maybe that was just trying to put out the fire that, you know, he was interested and there were talks. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, this is absolutely a guy. I mean, outside of, you know, Joss Whedon, who may be a bit busier, but would also,
yeah,
you know, be able to do this very well. I mean, this is a guy that's already rebooted Star Trek very, very successfully.
Rebooted Mission Impossible very, very successfully.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, especially with Star Trek, you're working with something that, you know, has the fan base that if it doesn't go well, we'll let you know about it. So I do feel good.
And he didn't just reboot it. Like, he rebooted it.
It made it awesome.
Well, like, yeah, he did awesome. I don't care about Star Trek. I loved it. Like, and it was, everything he did with it was perfect. So,
yeah, people like us that really don't give two shits about Star Trek, but you know, I went to see it with a pretty big Trekkie who loved it. So, I mean, if you can please, you know, kind of both of those subsets, that's a hell of a job on his part. So I think this guy, you know, even if it didn't have, he didn't have the two largest nerd franchises in his hands, I would buy a Mountain Dew forever because he's bringing me more Star Wars and he gave me Alias. So, I mean, those two things probably responsible for more erections in my pants than anything else.
And I don't care that he's doing Star Trek and Star Wars. I don't care about that. I do hope it means Simon Pegg ends up as a Jedi somehow. I want him in Star Wars, knowing as big of a fan of as he is. Like, might as well. He made his way into Mission Impossible, made his way into
Star Trek.
Into Star Trek. So I'd like to see him in there. But I don't generally like to plug other sites, but Slash Film, they were on top of this story. Like, they had, apparently Affleck was approached.
From what it sounds like, he was kind of the second choice.
Yeah. Vaughn was very heavily considered, but he pitched his own story idea, which would have starred Chloe Moretz and centered on her, which I would have liked that, but I think they already had a story in mind. I think any of those three would have been awesome.
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn was my guy from the start. Affleck, I never gave any consideration to. I mean,
never would have thought of it.
No.
But you figure he was approached for Justice League too and turned it down.
Yeah. To me, I guess Justice League makes a little more sense. But I mean, I don't know him well enough. Maybe the guy loves Star Wars. I mean, you know, he's obviously a great director.
Yeah.
And the franchise, I guess, would have been lucky to have him. It's just I would never have thought the reigning Golden Globe winner for Best Director would be a finalist to direct Star Wars.
Which one cool thing is that, is going back to Matthew Vaughn, like, rumor has it that now that he's not, because he was still holding out hope for this, I think, now he might be the front runner for Justice League, which then you...
Would that change your mind
about
it?
That would absolutely change my mind about it.
Yeah, I think...
That would pretty much, at this point in time, be the only thing that would change my mind about it.
Yeah, Vaughn, I mean, we both like most, just about everything he's done.
I love everything he's done.
Yeah.
He does not have a miss on my record, on his record at all, according to me. Like, I love, like, legitimately love everything he's done.
Yeah, we're both, you know, pretty solid behind him. So, I mean, by not choosing him, I think, you know, Disney would have had to really hit a home run to kind of make me feel good about it. And I think they did.
They absolutely did.
So, I think we're both on board for that. So, yeah, Mickey, go ahead, write the check. You've got the movies on up. Thumbs up. There was some other news this week, if you give a shit. Marvel has confirmed Ant-Man and Doctor Strange for their Phase 3 plans. For those of you keeping a score at home, and I kind of had to look this up, Phase 1, Iron Man 1 and 2, Thor, Captain America, The Incredible Hulk, and The Avengers. Phase 2, Iron Man 3, Thor 2, Captain America 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Avengers 2. So what the fuck is Phase 3, you might ask? Well, Ant-Man, we know that's getting a standalone movie. Not so sure about Doctor Strange, if he's getting a standalone or if he would be featured in an Avengers 3.
In a Cap 3, a Thor 3, something.
Right.
Like, get him in there somewhere. Because then you'll have Guardians of the Galaxy, possibly two. I mean, they're not making these movies looking to do one-offs.
No, so. No, definitely not. I think the Ant-Man thing was kind of a no-brainer, but I guess the news here was that Doctor Strange is going to be a character somewhere along the
line.
Which
has been talked about for a long time, but they just haven't really said anything. And what this does is this kind of takes the pressure off of Edgar Wright, because there was talk that maybe Ant-Man would be rushed because they were going to try to get to it this year. But now, okay, you have some time. Do it right. And that goes back to Abrams. Like, Abrams didn't, he signed on, but he didn't commit to that 2015, which... We said from the get-go, I didn't like the 2015 because I didn't think you could do everything you needed to do in that time frame. So studios are starting to wise up and take the time they need with some of this stuff. So
yeah, because they know, like, the money's there. If they do it right, the money will be there. And to rush, you know, a Marvel movie, there was a lot of backlash for Iron Man 2. A lot. Maybe that was rushed. Maybe it wasn't necessarily... Maybe the problem wasn't that it was rushed. Maybe it was the script. But, you know, the money's there. You just take your time, make a good product, and it'll make a shit ton of money. And I think studios are now willing to wait that extra, you know, 9 months or a year, knowing that it'll be a better product in the end. Speaking of the end, Phase 3 for Thor might involve semen and sperm. Whales, that is. The actor is rumored to reteam with Ron Howard to star in Heart of the Sea for Warner Brothers, based on Nathaniel Philbrick's book about a real ship, or the real ship, that inspired Moby Dick.
Eh, I like Hemsworth enough. I haven't seen enough of him to know how he's carrying movies that aren't where he's not a Norse god. Like, he was okay in Cabin in the Woods. He wasn't asked to carry it. Outside of that, like, he's been good in everything I've seen him in, but I haven't seen him carry anything.
Wolverines?
Didn't see it.
Neither
not
did
gonna
I.
Lie.
Neither
Skipped
did I.
Skipped on that. But he's getting choice roles, and, I mean, he's getting approached. His name comes up constantly about stuff with people that I trust to evaluate talent.
That the Ron Howard flick that he's re-teaming with, they're doing a movie, Racer?
That race car one?
Yeah. So, I mean, that'll give you a chance to see him not being
and
a
then if
Norse
Robopocalypse
god.
Happens,
yeah.
That'll be... I mean, you're gonna have plenty of options to see him. They're pretty much all going to come out just bam,
at the same
bam,
time.
Bam. Yeah.
You'll have plenty of opportunity to see him, less of an opportunity to miss him. In more Marvel-ish news, Ellen Page, Anna Paquin, and Sean Asmore will bring even more future to the Days of Future Past as they will reprise their roles of Kitty Pryde, Rogue, and the Iceman, respectively, now on board for the sequel.
This just keeps going back to what I didn't want this movie to be. The more old cast they add, the more I just lose interest in it. And you're just shitting on what Matthew Vaughn did with First Class.
Though I liked Sean Ashmore. I thought he was a good Bobby Drake.
Yeah, but that franchise ran its course. Let it fucking die and move on. You tried to, and then now you're just... I
do think that it might have been cool at this point. I mean, I think we both liked the idea of Days of Future Past. You were a little hesitant because you could see there was a possibility to fuck this up.
I was afraid something like this would happen.
Right. It's not like you're going to be able to go back now, but I guess like if you wanted to kind of reboot things and do, you know, the original X-Men, and you could have had Sean Ashmore as Iceman, but you would have had to, you know, maybe recast a Cyclops, do the Marvel Girl thing, and the pre-Blue Beast. That could have been kind of cool.
Because where do you go from here? Do you have, after Days of Future Past, are you trying to restart the Singer's X-Men franchise? Is he going to go and do X-Men 4 or 5 or whatever the fuck it is at this point? And then what happens to First Class? Is that just wasted? Are we fucking throwing away Fassbender as Magneto? Like, are you going to do a First Class 3 and an X-Men 4? Like, what the fuck is the plan? It feels like it's all for this one fucking movie, and that there's no who gives a shit about the Wolverine that they're trying so hard to distance from everything else. Fuck it, throw him back in here. What are you doing? Like, you're trying to distance yourself from the fucking train wreck that was X3, and now you're just throwing it all away. Like, fucking thank God Matthew Vaughn is gone. Because fuck, he's too good for this. Like, this is exactly what I thought Bryan Singer, the project would be under Singer. So, like, are you just killing First Class? Or is this the end for the original trilogy? Because, for the original, like, cast? Because if it is, what's the fucking point of having this many back? I just don't understand the game plan here.
It does seem a bit of an interlude. You know, like, they took what was, I think First Class was the best in the series to this point.
Absolutely.
And they're making that the interlude, and now back to your regularly scheduled programming of Halle Berry and shit. I completely agree with you. You know, maybe these guys aren't, they're going to be in the movie, but maybe it's more like a cameo role. They're just not going to be in it that much. And it's just, you know, maybe a small plot device. I don't know. I'm really going to try and hold out as much hope as I can, because this was a cool idea. And I think that it could be done well. Now, yeah, it can also be done shitty.
Want it to be, it did what Star Trek did, where it kind of take away the Wolverine cameo. And it kind of establishes its own timeline to where you can restart and you have an awesome cast. You have Fassbender, who owned that role. Like, yeah. As awesome as McKellen did, I never looked at him as taking over McKellen because he made that role his own. Holt was very interesting as Beast, but now you're barely going to get to... I mean, if you move on from the franchise, you're barely going to see him as Blue Beast. Jennifer Lawrence, like, the fucking cast was great. Minus January Jones, her might not be back for this, hopefully.
That's fine.
Yeah, I hope.
But McAvoy was great. I know you're not a huge fan of
him. I'm not a huge fan of him, but he did well with what he was.
Yeah, I thought he was a great Xavier. With McKellen coming back and Patrick Stewart's back to do the older versions of these characters, it does seem like you're really undermining everything that was done by not only Vaughn, but by the actors. By saying, you remember this old stuff?
Yeah.
It means more. Yeah, we kind of got off onto a little bit of a tangent about this. And maybe it's worth it, but hopefully it'll end up okay. I am not as optimistic about this next bit of news. Even more non-Marvel Studios Marvel news. Paul Giamatti is in talks to smash his way into The Amazing Spider-Man 2 as Rhino. Felicity Jones also in talks to join the cast in an unspecified role. I love Paul Giamatti. I don't love him as the Rhino.
You don't love him as the dumb guy who overcompensates his dumbness by brute strength?
No, I don't.
It'll be interesting. I don't. There's a few ways it could go.
This is what you'll like about Spider-Man?
No.
Okay.
You don't know that he's he could be a pre-mutated rhino. Like, he could be... There's still shit going on at Oscorp that he could be a pre... he could be a pre-rhino rhino. And if... I mean, whatever. You got... You had Lizard in the first one. You yeah. had... You know, you're going to have Electro here. And then maybe Rhino. That's three. And then Harry Osborn, Green Goblin... Are you setting up for a Sinister Six in the third movie?
That would be pretty sweet.
That's the only way I'm looking at it. I don't understand the Paul Giamatti as the Rhino, but it's better than Vinnie Jones.
Well, yeah.
It's all I can say.
I'm the Rhino, bitch.
Yeah, so, like, I'll hold out hope.
Oh, you can, because
I mean, here's the thing, is the first one, I just didn't like. I just didn't like anything about it. I'd seen the story a million times. The cast was okay. Maybe in the second one, when he's telling a new story that I haven't seen over and over and over again, I'll try to go in with an open mind. I like the cast a lot. I like Shailene Woodley. I like Felicity Jones and Felicity Huffman.
Yeah, sure.
And
maybe she's going to be the
maybe
vulture.
Maybe she'll be Felicity Jones' mom and dad.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know. I'm interested in what Jamie Foxx is going to do. I'm interested to see what Paul Giamatti would do. Like, eh.
Hopefully not smash his way through walls. Warner Brothers looks to be throwing its hat into the giant robot ring, along with Pacific Rim, Robopocalypse, Transformers 4, etc. Warner Brothers signs commercial director Nick Matthew to direct the Robotech project being produced by former Spider-Man Tobey Maguire. May or may not be a surprise to you to hear that this is going to be a planned trilogy.
Because everything is now.
Everything is now.
You don't make a movie. You make a potential tentpole. Like, everything is a potential for a franchise.
Were you into Robotech when you were a kid?
No.
Neither was I. I think I was slightly too young for Robotech. I feel like I just kind of missed that wheelhouse. I was a Transformer guy, but it seemed like the dudes on the bus that were older than me liked Robotech.
If it weren't mutated turtles or dudes fighting ghosts, I didn't give any shits.
Fair enough. I liked both of those things. I don't know. Maybe Tobey Maguire is the only dude that did like Robotech. Maybe Tobey Maguire was on my bus. Probably not. But yeah, apparently the way the Robotech works is there's a crash where we engineer giant fighting robots to battle aliens, which arrive in three waves. So there's your three movies.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I don't know anything else about it. I don't care anything else about it. This would be, oh, shit. Of the four giant robot movies that we mentioned, I would say this is firmly my number three.
I would say Pacific Rim is firmly my number one.
Yeah.
The other threes are I don't give a shit.
A Robopocalypse, I think, would be cool.
Yeah.
Transformers 4 and Robotech, that would be, that could be a real shit show. I don't think either of us will watch. It is, however, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Sequel for Harvey Weinstein. Crouching Tiger, for those of you keeping score at home, is based off the fourth book in the Crane Iron Pentology. Of course you knew that. The fifth book, Silver Vase Iron Knight, will begin filming in May. It will be directed by Ronnie Yu He of Bride of Chucky and Freddy vs. Jason fame or infamy. Look at that, however you like. With a screenplay by John Fusco, Hidalgo, and I think a bit underrated Forbidden Kingdom. Michelle Yeoh's character from Crouching Tiger is to be the main character in this film, though she's not officially involved yet. The thing that I find most significant is neither is Ang Lee.
You talk about a downgrade.
Yeah, I would say.
you're going from Ang Lee, who pretty much makes a movie and gets nominated for an Oscar, to the dude who did Freddy vs. Jason and Bride of Chucky.
You know what? I liked Freddy vs. Jason.
I loved Freddy vs. Jason.
Bride of Chucky, I did not. This does worry me.
I didn't see the first one.
I did, and I loved it. I really liked it. There were a couple. That one and House of Flying Daggers, I goddamn love those movies. And I think they're shot beautifully. The cinematography in those movies, the fight choreography, is just mesmerizing.
Which I felt the same way about Bride of Chucky, so maybe this works out well.
Yeah, then they're in
the
good
cinematography
hands.
Was gorgeous.
You're right. And the choreography, the fucking choreography between the My Buddy dolls, yeah, that's fine too.
I hope Jennifer Tilly replaces Michelle Yeoh.
You know what? At this point, it's possible.
Hey, who cares?
Yeah. It's depressing because as great as Crouching Tiger was, I am worried about Silver Vase, Iron Knight. But who the fuck is naming these things? You know what I mean? It's just like the Verbal from Usual Suspects. Like, just kind of sitting around looking at shit in your office. Like, okay, I got this new kung fu movie. What am I going to call it? Silver Vase, Iron Knight. Yeah, sure,
the
whatever.
The second book was called Precious Sword, Golden Hairpin. Number 3 was Sword Force Pearl Shine. 4 was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and then Iron Knight, Silver Vase.
So what the fuck was the first one? Is it
Crane
Iron?
Frightens Cunlan.
What?
Yeah.
Crane Cunnilingus.
Crane Frightens Cunlan.
Fuck. They can make some good movies, but they can't fucking name their books. Can we send what's-her-face Stephanie Meyer over there to show folks how to... how to create successful film franchises based off movies? Can we get that? Or what about the Harry Potter woman? She's out of a job right now. Can we get him over on the boat? Stat. Brad Bird and Damon Lindelof cryptically, tentatively titled 1952. Now officially cryptically titled Tomorrowland.
Yeah, there's still mystery about it. There's still no idea what this. It's about a box.
And what's in the box?
Yeah, yeah. So
maybe we'll find out sometime in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Sounds like a case of too much boomstick for Evil Dead. The Evil Dead remake officially gets an NC-17 by the MPAA. It'll get a recut, of course, to get an R rating before its April release date.
I don't think, if you saw the unrated trailer, I don't think it's any shock that it was close. And I'm sure it was the traditional... let's cut a version we know is going to be NC-17.
Oh, fuck
just
yeah.
So we can get away with more for the R version. So watch the movie. This film is not yet rated. If you don't like, listen to the South Park guys explain their process with the ratings
with
board.
The NBA,
yeah. So I think it's a case of that. Like, I'm sure they cut a movie they knew would get the NC-17. So that they could cut a couple things.
Right.
Instead of cutting a movie they hope gets the R rating and then have to cut even more things. So.
Yeah, and there are, you know, there's always the unrated Blu-ray or, you know, DVD, whatever, depending on what decade you're in, that this stuff will show up on there anyway. So, yeah, God bless them. I'm excited. I like that somewhere along the line there's going to be some pretty fucked up shit that would have got an NC-17. I think every R-rated movie should do that. I would say even including this next movie. Give you a little Sundance update for this week. Almost before the screening was over, Sony Pictures Classic Snaps Up Before Midnight from Linklater. It would be the follow-up to Before Sunrise and Before Sunset, starring Ethan Hawke, Julie Delpy. How many of these now three movies have you seen, Dave?
The first one, I think.
Sunrise?
I think.
Sure. That comes before sunset.
I'm not the giantest Linklater fan.
I'm not really either.
So
I like me some Julie Delpy.
I like Julie Delpy, but eh.
Yeah. I don't give two shits, but apparently enough people do. These movies tend to make money. There's three of them now, and the buzz, at least the guy that wrote this news article seemed to love the goddamn movie. He was really pumped. Don't have a release date for it yet. It'll probably come out sometime before sunset.
Yeah, and I mean, go back to the Sundance. Everything that was expected to sell sold. SVHS got picked up. Jobs got picked up. Like
a couple weeks before.
Yeah, that's true. But it just, everything you expected to sell, Joey Gordon-Levitt, Don John's addiction got picked up like right away. So no real surprises. I don't think anything stuck out to me is to not getting a deal. The Way, Way Back, which is the one I'm most excited for, that is got sold for almost $10 million to Fox Searchlight. That's directed by Nat Faxon, who you may know as Ben on Ben and Kate, and Jim Rash, who is the dean on Community. Also Oscar winners for their screenplay of The Descendants last year. So they actually wrote this one starring Steve Carell, Sam Rockwell. I'm excited for that. But other than that, I mean, there was no real big ones that didn't really get snatched up.
Did the one that I'm most excited about, did you see the Steve Jobs movie from the Thumb Wars guys?
No.
Yeah. It's called Hand Jobs.
Jesus.
I just thought of that while you were on your tangent, and I was like, this is going to be great.
Yeah, but that that Prince Avalanche, that David Gordon Green one starring Paul Rudd and Emil Hirsch, the remake of like a Swedish film, it got picked up. So
Hand Jobs, get it?
I got it. I got it. I was trying to move on and pretend that never happened.
Oh, no, that shit happened. That was comedy gold.
So, yeah, I mean, it was Sundance. Like, there were some good movies that I want to see, but...
Hand Jobs.
You know, before you segue, I just would like to say, that was kind of a super week for news.
From a super week, it is Super Bowl week. So we're going to give you kind of the movies on upspin on Super Bowl week. It is our favorite top five movies starring NFL players. Now, these are... Dave sent me this real uppity text like, hey, it's got to be people that play in the NFL, so you can't put any Rock movies on
that
there.
Was pretty
like,
much
I
it.
Fucking love The Rock and
do.
All of his films.
I do.
It was just so I couldn't put Southland Tales on there. But then I said, yeah, Dave, you don't need to worry about me because I don't cheat. And then what the fuck did you do? He already told me he put a guy on that didn't play in the NFL. He only played in the AFL.
Yeah.
So you violated your own rule, you son of a bitch, but I'll allow it because... That one's got legs. I'll give that to you. So, Dave, why don't you start us off? Your fifth favorite movie by a guy that played in the NFL.
Mine goes back to a year that it came out. I forget which one it was. Called Kicking and Screaming, starring former USC tight end Will Ferrell. No, Mike Ditka, Hall of Fame tight end, Hall of Fame coach, showed up in a supporting role. Say what you will about the movie. It was actually kind of entertaining. It's the Will Ferrell.
The soccer movie.
Soccer movie. Yeah. And,
soccer coaching movie.
Mike Ditka was fucking hilarious in it. he's really fucking funny. He wasn't just there as in like, hey, we put Mike Ditka in our movie. It was, no, Mike Ditka, go out there and be funny. And he really was. And he had a lot of legitimate laughs in the movie. And if you know, like, the stigma around Mike Ditka, like, watching that movie, I really liked his performance, especially.
I'll give you that. I'm on board with that movie. My number five was by a guy who played in the NFL from 1991 to 1996, played with a bunch of teams, the L.A. Rams, the Chargers, the Redskins, the Eagles. He was a linebacker and a badass linebacker at that. Terry Crews! Played Big T in Badass, which was Mario Van Peebles' essentially homage to his daddy's movie, Sweet Sweetback's Badass song. Badass, actually better than the movie that it is kind of blowing the whole time. So check that out. Terry Crews has actually been in some pretty entertaining movies. Idiocracy was pretty
Idiocracy
high.
Idiocracy almost made my list.
Yeah.
But I don't really like Idiocracy. I just wanted Terry Crews on my list.
And I guess to fully put the name of Terry Crews' character, I'd still be saying it because it's fucking incredible. I'll look it up while Dave is giving us his number four.
My number four also stars Terry Crews as one of the many ex-NFLers on here. Also starred Michael Irvin, Bob Sapp, Bill Goldberg, Brian Bosworth, Bill Romanowski. All players who had different length NFL careers. Irvin is a Hall of Famer. The Longest Yard, the 2005 remake of the earlier movie called The Longest Yard. It was okay. It was funny. Terry Crews stole it. Cheeseburger Eddie was by far the best part of that movie, but it had some good laughs in it. Also starred Adam Sandler, Chris Rock. Burt Reynolds came back as an older role than his original. But yeah, it's hard to talk movies that star ex-football players and not have that one in there. So that was my number four.
To finish up my number five, before going on to number four, because I know you're all dying to know, if you don't already know, Terry Crews in Idiocracy was President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho. I'd vote for that man based solely on his name. However, he only made it to number five on my list. Number four, the wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers and LA Rams from 1961 to 1968, Bernie Casey, Jefferson in Revenge of the Nerds, a movie that is very near and dear to my heart. Didn't have a huge, huge role in the movie, so starring might be a bit loose, but I think it's one of the all-time classic comedies. If you haven't seen that, what the fuck's wrong with you? But
if you haven't seen it, just watch King of the Nerds on TBS or TNT or whatever, Wednesdays at 10 or something, hosted by Booger and Robert Carradine.
Yeah, you could do that.
That commercial plays so much. I already hated that show. Now I hate them, and I just cringed at you mentioning Revenge of the Nerds just because of that.
I don't watch TNT.
I don't either, but it's on a loop at work.
Ah, fair enough.
My number three. Also, you know what's crazy about pretty much the hero moment in Revenge of the Nerds is when he essentially rapes the girl he wants?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what the hell? Like, oh, he finally wins one by rape.
But that's not a kid's movie, you know what I mean? People that are seeing that,
no,
they're not going to go rape anybody. I don't have the capability to rape anyone. I couldn't go out and rape a girl. I'd get raped myself.
I don't know. My number three.
You think I have the physical tools to rape a woman, Dave?
No rape involved. I don't think. There might have been. Starring a DB for the Steelers, Raiders, and Chiefs. From the AFL. This is before the AFL-NFL merger. Fred Williamson in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, that would have been on my also-ran list. Or my you just about made the list. But I, for whatever reason, I could see you picking that. So I left him go. My number three is a man. He's had by far the best NFL career of anyone we've mentioned to this point. Also, yes.
Ditka?
Yes. Yes, even Ditka. It's not close. It isn't. Ditka was good. He's a Hall of Famer. This guy, not only a Pro Football Hall of Fame, motherfucker's in the Lacrosse Hall of Fame. It is, of course, the great Jim Brown, fullback for the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, I'll give it
from 57. Yeah, I think he will, to 65.
The best running back to ever play the game.
Yeah, probably. That's what I mean. He didn't have the best film career, and God knows I wish instead of trying to pursue this film career, he would have played a couple more years for my Cleveland Browns. Maybe he'd have lasted until I was born in 84. Keep toting the pill at 60 or whatever he would have been. But he did make a little movie in the 80s that I am at least glad he did. And it was The Running Man. I goddamn love this movie. He was Fireball in The Running Man. Not necessarily the most memorable of all the super killer gladiators in that movie, but I think it's one of his more memorable roles and one of the few that I actually give a shit about. Most of his movies were from the late 60s, early 70s.
The blaxploitation era.
Yeah. There were a couple of those. And I like blaxploitation movies here and there, but I just didn't really care for anything he was in except for The Running Man.
My number two goes from the beloved running back for the Buffalo Bills from 69 to 77 and the 49ers in 78, 79. America's heartthrob, O.J. Simpson, starring in Naked Gun series.
Yeah, he was hilarious.
He was fantastic.
Movies. Yes.
And like when the whole O.J. trial happened, when he allegedly turned his wife into a Pez dispenser, I only really, like, I didn't watch him growing up playing football. He was retired before I was born.
Right.
So I really only knew him as Nordberg. And I was crushed.
Yeah, there's no way Norberg did that.
No.
And apparently
he
would have
tripped
didn't.
And fallen and done it. Like,
that's probably what happened. It's all just a giant misunderstanding.
If he did it, where are all his bruises and his swollen body parts from all the accidents he had along the way?
And he would have tripped on and he'd have stabbed himself on that knife.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that should have been the defense strategy. Screw you, Kardashian, for not using.
They should have just shown the Naked Gun movies.
Exactly. You think this guy's capable of murder? Maybe they did. It was behind closed
doors.
And
then I turned on him because I blamed him for there not going to be any more Naked Gun movies.
Oh, it comes full circle. My number two is also a comedy. This guy didn't murder anybody, though he did get kicked out of the NFL in 1963 for gambling. but he did have a great career with the Lions as a defensive tackle from 58 to 62. And then after serving his 1 year baseball probation in 1963, came back to play for the Lions in 64 through 70. The recently departed Alex Karras, who was in Webster, if you're into TV, but I will know him and love him as Mongo from Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, you can't argue that one.
No, that's
that one was almost on there for me, but I just didn't have room for it. My number one, starring a linebacker from the Oakland Raiders.
This is our crossover.
1970 to 71, Action Jackson.
Yeah, I about shit my pants when I saw that Carl Weathers played in the NFL.
Oh, I knew he played.
Holy shit, I didn't. I thought fucking Apollo Creed was a linebacker. This is great. Yeah. So you picked Action Jackson, and that's cool. I wanted to put Predator on there.
I thought you would do Predator.
I didn't. I just went Rocky. Because really, I get mad at Rocky because it won Best Picture instead of Network, which is bullshit. But Rocky still is a decent movie.
And I still get mad Action Jackson didn't win Best Picture.
He
jumps over a car.
Maybe it should have won. It should have won based on that alone. He doesn't jump over anything in Rocky. He just lets Sylvester Stallone punch him in the face. But yeah, I think Carl Weathers probably out of everybody that we had on our list probably had the best acting career. So I don't think it's a giant surprise that he's number one on both of our lists.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he appeared in, what, 8 games? He was a linebacker for 2 seasons, and I think he might have went to the CFL for a year or two.
I think he did.
But I remember, I knew he was an ex-player. I didn't know if he ever appeared in a game. But Action Jackson, I figured that would be the crossover there. I have not really honorable mention, but I think the obvious one that I left off because it's too easy, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Dan Marino's performance in that, I think, is pretty golden. And I think when you think of football players in movies, that's going to be what a lot of people think of first.
Of our vintage, yeah.
And this is why I had the rule, because I wanted this to be my number two or number one, but I just couldn't do it because of my own goddamn rules. Dutch, starring Ed O'Neill, who was a defensive lineman on the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he was cut during training camp in the 1969 season.
And
former at YSU Penguin.
I was going to say, from my alma mater, the Youngstown State, we crank out some good football players every now and again. Ron Jaworski and Ed O'Neill. That's
Jeff Wilkins.
Yeah, him too.
Ricardo Coakley.
He was there. We've got a guy playing wide receiver for the Bills now. What's his name?
Not
Brad Smith. He went to Cheney.
He's a Youngstown dude that went to Missouri.
Yeah. We've had a couple guys get some coffee in the NFL. So that's our five. The one that I left off, and maybe you might be screaming at home, was Bubba Smith from Police Academy. Hightower. I like Police Academy, just not enough. I didn't like it more than any of the movies that I have on my list. Yeah, I think that's it. Everything else, the ones that I left off, Dave pretty much cleaned up. I mean, I guess I could make the argument for Jim Brown instead of Running Man. Maybe you could put Dirty Dozen on there. That was cool.
I think it's funny that Any Given Sunday didn't make either of our lists.
That's true.
Because that was a piece of shit garbage time movie.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. I didn't really like that movie. So
I hated that movie.
I couldn't find a place for it. These other movies I legitimately do like, and I'd watch them. So,
Jumped over a car.
Exactly. Jumped over, and now he does middays on Mix 98.9. Action Jackson. No, he's evenings.
He was fantastic on Arrested Development also.
Yeah, that's true. Carl Weathers is good whenever he shows up.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Liked him in Happy Gilmore.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
Real good. Makes me cry to this day.
Do action, can do funny.
What else do you need the man to do? Yeah, like I said, if there is one that you think we're leaving out, let us know. Send us to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at moviesonup, or you can hit us up on the Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. Let us know, well, maybe what your favorite players, and we'll even, you can put a Rock movie on there. I don't even care. Whatever you want to do. You want to do CFL, XFL, if Rod, what was it, He Hate Me? If he was in a
Rod Smart.
Yeah. If he was in a movie, Tommy Maddox, if they were in movies, let me know. We'll let you know. We are going to let you know right now that it is time for some trailers. We've got quite a bit less. We're kind of flipping the script upside down from last week. Our first trailer is for Upside Down. And as the name would imply, there are in fact kind of two worlds, one of which, or both of which, depending on what side you're on, exactly upside down from the other one.
I like sci-fi when it's done well, and I like a unique story that's definitely an interest, that's like a different take on things. This looks fucking terrible. It's who is it? Jim Sturgis?
Jim Sturgis and Kirsten Dunst.
And Kirsten Dunst. The rich people live up top, and they have downwards gravity to where they stay on top. And then Jimmy Sturgis lives on the bottom.
Which is where our point of view is through most of the time. So it looks like the rich people are upside down.
So, and then they're not supposed to talk to each other. And then
But guess what?
Then he gets some like anti-gravity boots and infiltrates the rich world. And then it just looks really fucking stupid.
I think kind of what you were on to about if it's a different spin on things, I think that's interesting. This particular story, I feel like I've seen 800 times.
It's Romeo and Juliet, but what if the balcony was upside down?
Exactly. So, I mean, I think at least the visuals look intriguing in a two-minute trailer. Could I watch an entire movie with like that without getting a migraine?
Even the visuals in the trailer were like, how many falls were there in the trailer alone?
I can see where this might be kind of like a one-trick pony, and they're going to bang you with that trick for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Which has worked for me in the past.
Getting banged.
It just looks terrible. It looks absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe it might be of our three trailers, this is probably the one that I enjoyed the least. The next one, however, is the one that I enjoyed the most, and I didn't think that I would. It's called Resolution. It's kind of a smaller movie, which is getting a lot of buzz from some pretty legit horror outlets. It doesn't look like a horror movie at all when the trailer starts. A guy handcuffs his buddy to a radiator to try and get him to get off the drugs or whatever it is that he's doing. And then kind of the sober one starts to see some weird shit that's happening at the drug user's house. And it seems like at some point the movie does take kind of a left turn and into some pretty fucked up shit.
I think the trailer's actually been out for a while, but I think this is actually hitting on demand this week or soon. I don't know. It didn't show me enough. Like, it's one of those trailers that I watched, and it's like, it could be something I've seen a million times before. Or it could not be. I didn't see...
You can definitely tell something's been held back. Or at least it feels like something's been held back.
Yeah, so I guess I kind of left it neutral, I guess. Like,
you didn't know much going in, and they don't tell you very much.
I didn't know
much.
Anything about it going in. I didn't know if I wanted to see or not see the movie. And then now that I saw the trailer, I don't care if I see or don't see the movie. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it. But I'm not going to seek it out to find it, you know, so.
On the other hand, I mean, it's successfully piqued my interest in that this isn't the kind of movie I thought it was going to be after the first 45 seconds of the trailer. And I'm interested to see where it goes. I think they made a conscientious effort to not really spoil anything in the trailer. And they don't. They let you know that, okay, something's going to happen. This is the kind of where we're going, but I'm not going to show you how we get there, and I'm okay with
and
that.
I understand that those movies are hard to promote. Like, we go back, we've talked about Cabin in the Woods, but it just didn't show me anything that I wanted.
And this looks like it could be a cabin in the woods. There, that takes place in the woods. It's some sort of
a cabin.
Shitty house. Yeah, house, cabin, whatever you want. The next movie, despite the name, doesn't actually take place inside of a dude, but it is the new Coen Brothers film, Inside Llewyn Davis, about a folk singer with a cat, apparently.
Stars Oscar Isaac in the title role. JT shows up, who is new song, by the way. Phenomenal. Carrie Mulligan looking all Carrie Mulligan-ish, like her and the Coen Brothers together.
Goodman.
Seems Oscar nomination-y. Yeah. Goodman, it doesn't look very Coen Brothers-y.
No, the trailer really doesn't.
So, because of that, I'm kind of interested, Because like they burn me out kind of quick when it's too Coen brothers-y. Like I like it to an extent, but it looks interesting enough.
It was interesting. They've got enough of a track record built up with me that if they're coming out with something new, I'll give it a try. I think it's worth putting on sight unseen for our list of trailers. It doesn't. At this point, I wouldn't say that it's going to threaten the top spot for my favorite Coen Brothers movie.
I mean, this looks, given their current, their recent, like, I like True Grit. I did.
Yeah.
Serious Man, it was dreadful. I didn't like, Burn After Reading had its moments, but overall, I felt it was weak.
Those two were kind of weak, yeah.
I didn't like No Country for Old Men. I know I was supposed to. I just didn't. So, like, they're recent. This looks more interesting to me than any of those. This is the kind of thing that would pique my interest.
Well, and like I said, I think it's interesting. Just I did like even I liked A Serious Man. I thought it was pretty good. I like their stuff. I'll give it a try. Obviously, this is their new one, so take a look at it. You know, see what you think. I don't think it's really going to inspire you to get up and go wait in line to go see the movie right now.
And like Ryan said, it's not going to replace Intolerable Cruelty as his favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, try as it might.
Sorry, Oscar Isaac and Carey Mulligan. Your chemistry is not on a George Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones
yes.
type level.
Yeah. I do like Clooney. I do. Maybe him and Carey Mulligan would probably get it done.
I'd watch that.
They'd get it done, yeah. Yeah, they would. I'd pay to see that. Could be directed by whomever. Directed by me. Yeah, put it there.
Directed
George.
By Night Vision.
Directed by Restraining Order.
That's it for trailers.
Yeah, that is it for trailers.
That's a little, we kind of fell off track there at the end.
Yeah,
and we had about 15 fewer trailers than last week.
Yeah, thinking of George Clooney boning anything would do that for you. He's not featured in any of the movies that are coming out this week, nor is Carey Mulligan. From what I understand, she has kind of vanished off the face of the planet. As far as I know, she will not be featured in the new Sylvester Stallone movie, The Bullet to the Head. That will come out this week, as well as Warm Bodies. And in other old guy news, Stand Up Guys, which actually I think looks kind of good.
I want to see Stand Up Guys.
Unfortunately, that's going to be the one that's difficult to see, as it is the limited release.
I mean, I want to see Warm Bodies.
I do too. Yeah.
I like Nicholas Holt. I think the dude's a leading man. Like, and he's getting thrown out there now between this and Jack the Giant Slayer. Like, he's about to blow up. I like Cordry. I like that it looks different. Like, I don't know.
It's a different take on something. It's a bit like we
take.
Said with Upside Down, but without the headache.
Yeah, like, okay, a zombie that could maybe relearn to be human if he finds love. Like, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Especially because it looks charming. So, I don't know. I definitely want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm super. I don't know what my expectations are for it. I've heard the book is pretty awesome. But I want to see it.
I think after looking
I'm kind
at,
of excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think after watching the trailer, we were both kind of like, this actually does look pretty cool. I haven't been to a new release yet this year. This might be the first. I mean, that's not saying an awful lot, but I mean, I think that this could very well be the one that I go out and see. Do you think it has enough to be number one at the box office?
I don't think so, because it's getting promoted a lot more than I thought it would. I don't know that the name, I don't know that the book carries enough clout.
No.
I don't think that it has any name power, because like I said, Nicholas Holt's just in the infancy of his headlining movies phase. I don't know. I don't think so, but I could be wrong. I really don't know. I think Bullet to the Head is going to be like The Last Stand, where I think that for the second time in a month, they're going to prove that we don't give a shit, old guys. Like, Last Stand opened bombed, and then it fell off even more, and its second weekend went to 16th. So, I think Bullet to the Head might, which of the two, Bullet to the Head actually looks better, and it's got Sarah Shahi, so,
do you
yum.
Think, oh, I thought you meant between the two of that and Warm Bodies, but you mean that and Last Stand.
Last Stand and Bullet to the Head, I would see Bullet to the Head, okay. But I would probably take a Bullet to the Head than see either one of those, but I want to see warm bodies. I don't know what the interest is out there. I mean, it's zombies. Zombies have done well.
They're a pretty popular thing now, and you would think...
It's like a tweeny-looking story.
Yeah. I think, you know, if they do a good job of marketing it, I could see where it could do pretty well. And it could be kind of that alt... Zomcom, you know? It's Valentine's Day is coming up, so, I mean, that doesn't help for this week, but it could be a movie that does kind of stick around for a couple weeks, just, you know, because it is kind of... It's a little bit out there. It's not your normal love story. It's not your normal zombie movie. And I love zombie movies, but I am getting a little bit burnt out with zombie flicks. This is a different spin on it. So I like it.
I don't even want to do an over-under because I don't even know where to go. And we don't pay attention to the next week anyway. So
yeah, that's true. We should just like do 19 million from now on, because that seems to be what the number one movie makes.
And this January, it's been that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why we don't go back, because we don't give a shit. Nothing's coming out. But yeah, let's do 19 million for...
It's below. Let's do 6. Let's do 7 for Bullet to the Head.
Oh, God. I'll take...
I'm going under.
Shit. I'll take under, too. Under 6. Is that what we're saying?
7.
Okay,
because I think
7.
It'll be in that 6 range.
Okay.
Warm Bodies, go 16.
I'll take the under.
I'll take the under.
Yeah. So what's number one this week? Do you think it's still Hansel and Gretel?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't see movie 43 making a move.
Or Mama Jumps back up there.
Shit. January sucks. Yeah. This weekend it'll be February. So
yeah. So.
January in the rearview mirror. This podcast for the most part in the rearview mirror. Just
that moment of realization where I realize I don't have a watch this.
Of course, as we have just a couple segments left. And as Dave alluded to, his personal favorite is up next. If you don't want to go see Warm Bodies, or you don't want to take a bullet to the head or your eyeballs, we'll give you a couple suggestions to watch this week. I'll lead off as Dave is feverishly looking for something to watch. And I'm going to be pissed if he comes up with something that you can watch on VOD that he may have just mentioned about 2 to 3 minutes ago. But a movie that was part of my New Year's resolution. This is not, in fact, a Best Picture winner, but one of my New Year's movie resolutions was to take more recommendations from people. And I got a recommendation from Comic Book Chris, whose name, as you might think, he sells me my comic books. And he said that there was a movie on Netflix that he thought, had it been given a proper budget and could actually license some legit monsters, could have been the best horror film of the year last year. It's called Monster Brawl. And as the name would imply, it is a cross between big time wrestling and monsters. Essentially, they make the Wolfman, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, but let's say... Two monsters have to fight. I think a zombie fights like Frankenstein or something. And it's some kind of tournament setup. It really wasn't that great of a movie. It really wasn't. And a movie that stars Dave Foley and Jimmy Hart, Hulk Hogan's former manager from our youth. You might not be surprised that it's not a great movie. But it was enjoyable. I had a couple adult beverages in me at the time. And... it is what it is. It would be a movie that I think if you had a bunch of friends over and you were getting drunk, it could be an enjoyable watch. It was not anywhere near my favorite horror movie of the year last year, but I did say I wanted to take some recommendations from some folks, and I did. I watched Monster Brawl. It was okay. Also saw Red Lights, which was my suggestion from last week. Red Lights was better than this movie, and Red Lights, not one of the worst movies I've seen in 2012 either.
Red Lights was terrible.
Wasn't that bad.
I'm going to go to something I randomly stumbled across on on Netflix a month or so ago that I think I forgot to mention. A little movie called Boy Wonder. It's a weird vigilante kind of story. Just about a dude who grew up in a shitty life and now goes onto the streets and beats the shit out of people with a baseball bat. It's different. It's a weird watch. It doesn't really star anybody that you would know, really, but it was worth a watch. Like, it was
if you like people getting beat the shit out of.
But even that, like, it's different. It's hard to sell. Like, it's a hard I can't with giving you the plot.
Because you're not. I mean,
like, it's hard. I mean, it's hard because it's a weird watch. Like, to say, like, oh, this kid grew up a weird life. Now he's shy and then
he's Obama.
Beats thugs up at night. That kind of oversells it a little bit. Like, it's more than that. So it's a pretty decent. It's an interesting watch. So, what did I say it was? Boy Wonder?
Yeah, it's so interesting you can't remember the name.
I honestly couldn't remember the name. I knew Boy was in there somewhere.
So you've got Boy Wonder and Monster Brawl. Those are this is just a bad week for movies. Maybe you should just go back and if you have
Boy Wonder is good, though.
Okay, all right. Watch Boy Wonder then. Monster Brawl, if you're having a party, put it on in the background. It's funny to watch. But yeah, that's about as far as I'll go with that one. So those are your watch this for the week. And that's really going to wrap it up for us. Mercifully, we will get out of here. Before we go, there is one thing I would like to plug. I very rarely plug things, but being that it involves both of us, both Dave and I, you can catch us obviously next week on Movies On It. But you can also check us out this coming Thursday. It'll be the week after the Super Bowl.
February 7th.
Yes, so you'll have next week's podcast, and then if you just can't get enough of Ryan and Dave, you can catch us live on the radio. Probably no F-bombs, no clit jerking, I hope.
Hopefully, no.
Hopefully. That's the plan, but you can check us out on 1390 AM radio here in Youngstown or anywhere on the globe with iHeartRadio at sportsanimal1390.com. From 6 to 8, we're going to be doing a sports show, Sports Wrap Thursday. We'll be featuring Dave and I this week. So if you like sports, if those of you out there that like movies and sports, check us out. You'll probably be our entire listening audience.
I'll be there. I also have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, which I want to plug now. We just booked our we're hitting 1 year in March. Will be our 1 year anniversary. So March 10th. At the Funny Farm in the basement of Mojo's in Austintown, Ohio. We'll be doing a live Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave event.
I'll be there.
Yeah, it'll be Sunday night, March 10th from 7 till about 9 or 9:30. It'll be a fun time. We're still working out stuff, but there'll be laughs, hopefully some stand-up, maybe some music. We'll figure it out, but it'll be interesting. Until then, you can listen to the show, ericanddave.com. At Eric and Dave on Twitter or Facebook.com/Eric and Dave. That's Eric with a K. You can find me at Dave Becella or DaveBecella.com. Send us your Oscar picks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll probably be doing that maybe next week.
Kind of need to do that next week.
Yeah, probably we'll be doing that next week. So you can either do Dave's complicated point system where you weight your points based on the confidence you have in a person winning that particular category, or you can just straight up send us who you think is going to win. You can do that moviesonup@gmail.com. that would probably be the most efficient way to do it, or I guess you could maybe do it facebook.com/moviesonup, or maybe direct message Dave on Twitter. Can you do that?
Maybe. Email moviesonup@gmail.com.
yeah,
if
that'd
you
be
have
the best
questions
way. Do that. Have we got anybody that's not it yet? Because I think you're checking something.
I don't think
so. That's not it. You're okay. You're doing personal shit on podcast.
Oh, I'm
time.
Checked out.
You are awful. So I think fuck it. I might as well check out too. Until next week, which will be our Oscar preview in quotes episode. Keep it up.